Would you take your Bibles and look in Matthew with me, chapter 2, as we read our text here this morning. Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to be reading, beginning verse 1 here in a moment, down to verse 12. We've been, several weeks back, we started a series of messages on men in the Bible, different men and the characteristics behind these men of how we should implement maybe that characteristic in our life. There was a few along the way that we told you to, you know, a couple of them that we mentioned that we obviously need to be careful with their life. We're going to today speak on the subject of the wise men here in Matthew chapter 2. The wise men were not necessarily really godly men. They were religious. They often set an example in that way. But they were men whose lives were changed, as you can imagine. And something they taught us that we're going to talk about today that would be a great characteristic to follow in our life was that they taught us to worship. And how to worship. As we look at their life, and if you're able to stand as we read these verses, let's stand in reference to the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem," which by the way, Bethlehem was a small village, maybe 2 miles at the most, on the southern outskirts of Jerusalem. "When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men," magi in other words, "from the east of Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor," that is a ruler, "that shall rule my people Israel." And this word "rule" just speaks of kind of like a shepherd. And the emphasis on this word would be someone who demonstrates tender care. That was the understanding about this one that is spoken of here when you see the word "rule." Verse 7, "Then Herod, when he had privately or secretly called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared." Now he wanted to know the exact time, because he had an ulterior motive, right? Verse 8, "And so he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, 'Go and search diligently, carefully, for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him.'" Now, that was not what he really wanted to do. You can read more about that, but he wanted to kill Jesus. Verse 9, "And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, so they departed into their own country another way." Let us pray. Lord, as we read the precious Word of God that you provided to us today, Lord, we thank you that we have the truth. We thank you, Lord, that what we have before us, we can know, Father, that we can put our faith and trust in your word. And God, if there's one here this morning that is searching for the truth, that needs Jesus, I pray, Father, that they would open their heart and their life up to the truth today. And for all of us that are here today that are believers, God, may we, Lord, better learn how to worship you and how we can follow you in a manner that is pleasing to you, a manner that, God, that is obedient in our walk with you. And Lord, I pray, Father, that we can leave here encouraged because we came. Now bless the remainder of our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Verse 2 tells us, it says, and that they came to worship the Lord. Now, wise men still worship him. Wise men still worship God. In other words, Matthew is careful to say that the wise men worshiped him, Jesus, and that is the child that they came to worship. And by the way, not anybody else, not even the mother. Mary is promoted today as one to be worshiped in some religious backgrounds. Mary is put on the same level as Jesus. But the wise men noticed they didn't come to worship Mary or Joseph or anything or anyone else. They came to worship Jesus. And that's what wise men still do today. Most of present day Christianity does not know how or what worship is today. Matter of fact, worship is so vital in our Christian life that worship is being watered down to the point to try to get more people in the church. Sadly, a lot of our churches today are focusing more on style of worship than what true worship is all about. To get more people in, let's just change the style of worship and make people feel good and when they come in. And it's more about man than it is God. That's why a lot of our songs have gotten away from the true message of what songs should have in it to more appealing to the flesh. And it, yes, I realize it may get a lot of young people sometimes in our church building. It may sound good. It's got a nice beat to it. And by the way, I don't focus on the beat. All right? I really don't. My mama raised me listening to country music. I don't like country music to this day, but every now and then, as I'm getting older, I'll hear a country song that my mom used to play, and I'll think, well, you know, I kind of like that. All right? I kind of like that. But then I have to listen to the message. I think, well, I don't like that. You know? You understand where I'm coming from? Come on, let's be honest. I'm just being honest with you. And I was raised up with listening to some, in our day, some rock music. Well, rock music in my day compared to today is totally different, believe me. And I have found myself listening to some of that old 60s, 70s, 80 music, and thinking, you know, that's not too bad. Until some of it, I listen to the message, and I realize, I've got to be careful. And even modern day music today. You know, I know times change. But you know what? When we come to church, what should we expect to hear? We should expect to hear music that's going to honor God. That God's going to be worshipped. That God's going to be praised. We don't need to bring the world in here because we want to fit. We want to make the style of the world fit into the church because that pleases the flesh. It makes us feel good all over. But listen, if a song does not worship God, if its intent is to appeal to the flesh, then that's not what worship is all about. It ought to be that we worship God. Worship God. You see, without worship, we'll not become what God wants us to be. And I know I hit on music a little bit, but worship is more than just music. I realize that. Matter of fact, we're going to see. We're going to see what does worship require? Well, worship, we see in the example of the wise men, requires giving. Look at we find in our text in verse 2, they came to worship. The right worship is always and must be the only basis for right giving and right learning and right service. You notice verse 11, if you would. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and they worshipped him. And when they had opened their, what? Their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now they would not have had a complete worship without having given of their treasures. Now, do you suppose that's true today? I mean, can we worship Christ today when we're stingy with God? You know, giving that is generous but done apart from our loving relationship with God is really empty giving. You see, they gave in quality as well as quantity. You see that? They gave in quality as well as in quantity. You know, too many times when we come to church, we want to give God the leftovers. You know, I've got a little time, Lord, I can give you. But once it hits, that clock hits 12 o'clock, it's time to go. All right? Or I'm not sure that I can come back to church Sunday night or Wednesday night or whenever. Because, you know, and I'm not suggesting, listen, that we're all going to be able to make it here every time the doors are open. Or even when it comes to the offering, when we give to God. God doesn't want our leftovers. You see, God doesn't want our leftovers when it comes to our time, our service, or whatever. You see, service that is demanding and sacrificial, but done in the power of the flesh or for the praise of men, is really empty service. That's what it is. It's empty. These men opened their treasures, it says. And the Bible says, and they gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, their gifts were acts of worship that were presented to Jesus and to Him alone and no one else. It was an act of worship. They came to give to Jesus. When we give Jesus our time, when we put money in the offering plate, we're not giving to the preacher, we're not giving to the church, we're giving to the Lord. And that's my attitude, that should be your attitude when we worship God in our giving. Now, if you think, well, you know, I'm giving to take care of the church. Well, that's part of what happens with that. But really, the when we give, it starts with I'm giving it to Jesus, and what is done with it, of course, in that manner, then whoever is responsible for it is held accountable. But I'm giving to Jesus. Worship requires giving freely. That which they gave was of great value. They gave gold. Now, gold, as we all know, even today in today's society, represents royalty. It was always considered the most precious metal in their day and as well as in our day. They gave frankincense, which frankincense is represented what we might call deity. It was a costly, beautiful smelling incense that was used only for special occasions. And then they gave myrrh. Now, myrrh represents the giving from humanity. It was not quite so expensive as frankincense, but nevertheless, it was valuable. Now, it's believed, why did they give these gifts? Well, they gave to Jesus, but in turn, they knew that Mary and Joseph was going to have to travel. But by the way, Mary and Joseph was very poor. We looked at that last week. Remember they gave the two turtle doves and the pigeon, was it, last week? That represented in Leviticus that they were poor. Okay? And so they gave these gifts knowing that Mary and Joseph didn't have the money to travel a great distance. And they were going to have to travel because Herod was after Jesus. And so that most likely was used, those gifts was most likely being used to help Mary and Joseph. I don't believe that Mary and Joseph took the gold and the frankincense and myrrh and just set them up on their mantle at home and thought, well, ain't that pretty? No, God gave them those gifts for a purpose through the wise men. But they gave to the Lord. They gave to Jesus. And it was used most likely to help Mary and Joseph. You know, what we have given God, that is of great value when we give our life to Him. To give to God means that we give Him all of us. All that we have. All that we are. Our time, our talent, our treasure. And so often, if not careful, I know sometimes we complain of, you know, things that we may end up having to do, maybe even around the church, or the time that's invested sometimes of what we do for the Lord, or even give, you know, sometimes to help advance the kingdom of God. But, you know, we know that when we give God our best. You know, God's not wanting to be down the list when it comes to our giving. So they came to worship Him, secondly. And then how do we become like the wise men? Thirdly, the wise men still listen to God's warning. Wise men still listen to God's warning. Look in verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down, and they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. By the way, who sent them to find Jesus? They were following Herod's command. So rather than listen to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So the wise men, they still listen to God's warning. You know, it's interesting to note in verse 12 that God's warning superseded the word of the king to these men. I mean, it was like Herod was like the president. And the president has given you an ultimatum. When you find Jesus, you let me know, Herod says. Well, they had to make a choice. Are they going to follow God, Jesus, in this case, or are they going to follow Herod? And so, what did they do? They knew the value of listening to God's word. Well, that's what wise men do, right? The wise men know the value of listening to the word of God. In other words, how do we know what to do, what is right today, even in society today? How do we know when the Supreme Court passes laws up in Washington, D.C., and they said that, listen, homosexual marriages are fine and well, and we need to be accepting of that. There's a case that was just put before the Supreme Court this past week of a baker who chose in his own business, when two fellas came in and said they're getting married and we want you to do our wedding cake. They said, this baker says you can buy anything you want in this store. You can, you know, whatever. We get cupcakes, whatever. But he says, my biblical convictions tell me I cannot make that wedding cake. Okay. Well, we're going to sue you. Well, they did. They took him to court. Now it's already at the highest court in the land. So they're going to be deciding. I think by this summertime we'll hear how that comes down. And believe me, that's another thing that's going to change society. Because if you're a business person today, whether you have a lawn business, whether you have a bakery, whether you have a dress shop, or whatever, your biblical convictions doesn't matter anymore. You'll be put in a position like the wise men. Who do you listen to? Well, in their case, they chose to listen to God. Right person to listen to, right? And God's already laid it out right here in this book for us today. Who do we listen to when we're put in that predicament? Who do we listen to? Like this baker, he's listening to God. And where does he base his decision on? God's word. A wise man, the Bible says in Proverbs 1 and verse 5, says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain wise counsels. Proverbs 9 and verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. He'll still be wiser. Proverbs 10 and verse 8 says, the wise in heart will receive commandments. That is, they will listen and they're teachable. But a prating fool, that is a babbling fool, shall fall. In other words, they'll come to ruin. They'll fall because they rejected God's commands. So when we choose to reject God's commands, as we have the right to do, right? We can listen to mankind, which, by the way, I'm not advocating don't follow the laws of our land. As long as the laws of our land do not go against the Word of God, I'm going to follow it. But when the laws of our land causes me to choose between man or God, I'm going to tell you, I know who I'm going to choose. Because I've got to answer to God. And that's where we find is being taught in this passage. What we find being taught in this passage. Because to follow the laws of man that goes against God's law is like a babbling or a prating or babbling fool that will eventually fall. And folks, our land is falling today. Because there's a lot of foolishness that's taking place around today because we're not listening to the laws of God. And so there's a great price that we'll pay. That's what Proverbs is talking about. Proverbs 12 and verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to God's advice." You know, we should all listen to God's warning of His coming wrath. It's coming. We should all listen to God's condemnation. It's coming. And we should all listen to God's warning of procrastination. You see, because, listen, we're in a day and time where we're seeing it. But you see, to be wise, it's important that we listen to God, right? To be wise is important. And heed, like the wise man, to the warning of God. Thirdly, how do we become like the wise men? Fourthly, we wise men still depart from Jesus as a changed people. Wise men depart from Jesus as changed people. Look in verse 12. They departed into their, what does it say, into their own country another way, or by another way. They departed. Now, that speaks of conversion. Now, how do we know they were converted? Because they came very religious people. They were good people, most likely. I don't imagine the wise men lived immoral lives or anything. They were good people. But when they came into the presence of Jesus, they departed different. Can you imagine? Wouldn't you? I mean, your first experience, like we looked at last week. Who was it who held Jesus last week? Anyway, his name slips my mind. I'm just going to... Simeon, thank you. I had a blank space there hitting me. But anyway, Simeon was holding Jesus. His life was changed, wasn't it? The wise men came and viewed Jesus to worship Him. And they were converted. When a person comes in direct contact with Jesus face to face, you know what? Conversion is going to always happen, isn't it? These men were changed that day. They left different than they came. The reason we have so much failure in churches of America today is people don't get converted when they come to the altar. I mean, some don't get saved. Then you got Christians who come to the altar and they pray and they get up the same way they came. There's no real change. These men met Jesus and He was changed. And Jesus changed their life. And when people meet Jesus, they leave differently. When we observe people who have supposedly met Christ, but there is no change in them, you can mark it down. They met the wrong person. Because when you meet Jesus, Jesus will change your life. You can't come in contact with Jesus and remain the same as you left. You see, their life was changed. So, listen, we need to foster the wise men's attitude and perspective and not be distracted by the familiar imagery of Christmas as we see it around us. We must not be short-sighted when considering Christ's humility as a baby in a manger. That baby did not stay a baby. You see, as the wise men rightly demonstrated, He was and is our King, Jesus is. This Christmas, let me challenge you. Take advantage of every opportunity to adore Christ. Take advantage of the opportunity to worship Christ. Not just at Christmas, but every day and to celebrate Jesus. You see, He's our King of Kings. He's our Lord of Lords. changed, isn't he? And so, let me close with a few questions this morning. Do you know Christ? Oh, it's so important to search our heart. Do you know the Lord today? Now, most everybody in this room would probably say, yes, preacher, I'm saved. But is it a heart knowledge or a head knowledge? You see, the heart knowledge says that you've invited Jesus into your heart, that you truly have been changed because you met Jesus. Now, the head knowledge says, well, like the wise men, when they first heard about Jesus, they were going to follow Jesus, but yet they didn't really know Jesus from the heart knowledge standpoint until they saw him face to face and their life was changed forever. Has Jesus changed your life? I hope he has. If not, why not come to him today? Would you stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed? We're going to have an invitation and our musicians are going to come, and I want to invite you as a believer today with your heads bowed and your eyes closed to be praying much concerning this invitation. If God's speaking to you, I want to invite you to come.